Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 19, verse 8. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll read a few verses, but I'm gonna look at quite a few. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. What did he do boldly? He spoke boldly, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. That means just some of them, not all of them. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. It's good to leave some people. He took the disciples with him, and he had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wow. All in that province heard the word of the Lord. Did you catch that? I think I'm going to keep going. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness were cured, and evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, I command you to come out. 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. So in other words, they had done it and over and over and over. They'd done it many times. But verse 15, one day, the evil spirit answered them. I think actually maybe they came in contact with a real devil. One day, the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had an evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, gave them such a beating. Everybody say such a beating. Such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Wow. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. The name of the Lord was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Then they calculated the value of the scrolls, and the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Read verse 20 in whatever version you have, right out loud. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Father, move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know what I'm noticing as I'm preaching and reading this text? I'm realizing the last time, you want to know what the record was for the youth before we hit 85, it was 82. We hit 82 people. I was the youth pastor. And I'm sure Pastor Tim and Heidi were helping me in some degree. And we had a deliverance service with 82 kids. We brought them outside and burned all kinds of stuff. And then we went from 82 to like 10 the following week. And then And I don't know, it never came back. And it's been up and down for years, but my God, we got a great foundation. I think it's just going to continue to grow. You know, a lot of people pray for revival, and I pray for revival. How many of you feel like you've been a part of revival? To have revival, you have to have something that was alive first. So really, revival is something that was dead that gets revived. It's like a picture of someone who maybe drowns, and they're dragged to the shore of the lake, and then they're brought back to life, and they have CPR, and they come back to life. They're revived. When you meet somebody who's had a heart condition or a problem and they have a surgery and maybe their pipes are cleaned out, you know, they have no more blockage and they realize they survived a heart attack and they're alive. The grass is greener, the birds are louder, everything is just like, wow, I'm alive. And if you were ever dead, if you remember when you were dead, and what I mean by that, dead, without God, hopeless, broken, destitute, demonized maybe, addicted, Maybe you remember that. If you remember that, that's a good thing. I remember that, but not the sting of it. The sting is gone, but I'm glad I remember where God brought me from, because he brought me life. He revived me. And I will tell you that we are experiencing things here that are likened to this text that we read. I do believe that we're moving into revival in a greater and greater way. And you've heard me say it. I've preached against revival in that it's not a three-day meeting. A revival is not a three-day meeting. Or maybe you could call that a revival, but then let's call an outpouring, and maybe a reformation. Because really what America needs is not a three-day meeting. I'd love for America to get in a three-day meeting, but really what we need is a reformation. When you have people being arrested for reading books that are allowed in public schools at a parent-teacher's meeting or a board meeting, this man stood up and read out of one of the books that they're allowing in the public library, and they had people come and arrest him and drag him out for reading the book they're allowing our kids to read, not my kids. Come on, say that if you feel that way. Not my kids. We need an awakening. We really do. And this text is a beautiful picture of an awakening that takes place. And from it are some very clear markers of what actually brings revival or reformation, and what it actually is. What happens when God is really pouring out on a people? And how does that come about? I'm not here for a three-day meeting. I've been here for almost 17 years, and I'm not leaving. If you love me, great, I love you too. If you don't love me, I still love you, but I'm not leaving. Like, you just, this place is too intense. You can go somewhere else. We don't want you to, but it might be that you're a little dull and you need some life. Let's take a praise break. And somebody say, you know, you're a little extra, maybe a little too extra. I said, well, maybe you're a little too dead. I didn't say that. Sounds good, though, doesn't it? If you look at this text, just look right at verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. There's much here. First of all, when I see that somebody's speaking bold and it's in the flesh, it doesn't produce much, number one. Number two, it doesn't last. So if somebody's in the flesh and they go to the village, I promise you they don't stay there for 10 years. Who would do that? He'd quit. He'd quit. Okay, you obviously haven't been in a village for 10 years, but I mean, you'd quit. But if God called you there, and if God is sustaining you there, then something happens. So he goes to the synagogue. Now, the gospel was preached and demonstrated. The gospel of the kingdom was preached and demonstrated in synagogues, in homes, and in the marketplace. Guess where it should be for us? It should be at the church. It's kind of a picture of the synagogue, a gathering place. It should be in homes, and it should be in the marketplace, right? Can you say amen? And he spoke boldly. So it doesn't say he spoke timidly. It doesn't say that Paul was a mealy-mouthed, apologetic Christian hoping not to hurt anybody's feelings. He's bold. When you know you have authority, when you know that you're walking in truth, it releases a boldness. And it doesn't have to look like mine or somebody else's. We're not really even sure what Paul's looked like, except Paul was powerfully used to turn this city right side up, to bring an awakening there. And you can be used to do the same thing, but it won't happen a different way. There is a commonality between people that get set on fire. Fire is like violent. The baptism of fire. A baptism of fire. Jesus talked about it's not a baptism of feathers. It's a baptism of fire. Fire is powerful. Fire can be very destructive, but fire the right way can cause combustion in your car, can cause a home to be heated, can cause water to boil. So he has a boldness, all right? So what you'll find is a common denominator with people that are used by God to bring an awakening, to bring change in their family, to bring an outpouring wherever they go. Common denominator, all of them are bold. Now the personalities are different. But he was bold. And you see he's there for 3 months. That's 90 days. That's not a week of morning prayer. That's 3 months showing up daily. Hey, got to talk to you again about the Lord. He's the Messiah. I mean, again and again and again. And it's interesting. It says arguing persuasively. Listen, let me tell you, I cannot discuss or try to convince somebody about, I don't know, nuclear power or fusion. I don't really know much about fusion. Anybody know anything about fusion? Okay, good for you. Praise the Lord. And you can talk about fusion. I can't talk about fusion. I don't know anything about it. Just arguing persuasively means that he's educated, actually, in that he was trained under one of the top rabbis. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the word. He knew the Old Testament, and he was used by God under the inspiration of the God breathed on him to write the New Testament letters that we have in the canon of Scripture. He argued persuasively. In other words, his argument wasn't foolish. It wasn't like because I said so. Jesus is the Messiah because I said so. No, it had backing. It had substance. It was intelligent. It was truth. Truth has a ring to it. One of the things that I teach you and my pastors and leaders is when you pray, pray the word. When you witness, use the word of God. It is powerful, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. God stands over his word to see it performed, but he does not stand over your opinion. And I found that there's just some really weak arguments for Christianity. Understand that Jesus is the Messiah and learn to prove it. Learn to show that God really is God. Why is he God? Why is that Bible? Let me see your Bible. Hold it up in the hand. All right, you got it on a device. Great. Hold up your Bible. All right, why is that God's word? Can you answer that question, which is rhetorical, which means I don't want to be yelling out. Can you tell me why this is the word of God? How do you know this is actually God's word? Can you prove to me that God wrote this? And I'll just say it that way. Why isn't the book of Enoch in here? I'm going over to Dr. Tim. Why aren't some of the other books in there? And I know he can answer it, but can you? Then you'll have people. I had somebody say this to me, and they might be online if you're offended, good. Because it's just so stupid. Oh, they found the original King James. Oh, unadulterated. The King Jimmy. Let me just tell you something. They had far less original documents and fragments to piece together than what they have now. And I know that there's the argument, well, how can you copyright God's word? And that bothers me. Also, some you know, NIV is copyrighted. But the King James Version, the original 1611 King James Version, I don't have it in front of me. I didn't plan on going this direction, but you don't have notes, and I have a few, so. Arguing persuasively, can you prove to me that that's God's word? Now, if you cannot, I would charge you to convince yourself that it is. Because you might just go to church and please, I'm trying to challenge your intellect. You know why? Why would you do that? Because 1 Peter, 2 Peter, it's one of the Peters. I actually think I put the scripture down, so let me see if I can find it. Hey, no, I don't have too much fun on the front row, the second row there. 2 Peter. For this reason, make every effort, verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, to knowledge? Ignorance is not bliss. Your faith is not just a leap out into nothing based on some you know, hyper-spiritualism and your hair stood on end, and so I know it's the Lord. Really? I wouldn't bet your life on your hair standing on end. I would bet my life on this. I've studied and I got a lot more to go. I will study the rest of my life. And the Apostle Paul said, bring to me the scrolls. When you bring Mark, tell him to bring, he's gonna die. Why would he ask for the scrolls? Why would he ask for the Bible? Can I just say it that way? Why? So he could study more. Why? Because you're never done studying. And if you don't understand that this is God's word, then you really need to set out to study that. Like, I want to learn that. Very good. It's not too late to get into KSM. You can register for that, and they'll teach you all those things. Very, very important. Your faith is not based on just whether you can feel God or, you know, some, you got a touch from God. Those are wonderful things, and I don't want to, you know, diminish the power of your experience, but you must be rooted and grounded in the Word. So his arguing was bold because it was truth, and he persuaded them. He argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's truth. Because it's God's word. Witnesses. Wow. It's an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. God, we're talking about having an outpouring, talking about having an awakening. These are the components of really an awakening that took place in Ephesus. There's the moving of the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, look at this. Extraordinary miracles. Are you all there? Extraordinary miracles took place. That's verse 11. I'm going to go back to verse 9, if I may. So he argues persuasively about the kingdom of God, but some of them became obstinate. And I have seen that even recently. I've seen it. I was greeting somebody, and they were very offended at me, offended at the church. I've tried to work it out for years. They shook my hand in a way that felt like a vice grip. Anybody know what that's like? You know, trying to hurt you. I took the pain. And they're like, you know, later. I'm like, okay, see you later. You know, sometimes it's good to say goodbye to people. Amen. Some people need to go. Some of you have partnership with people that are nothing but a hole in your head, and you're wondering why you got all kinds of problems. You know, I go where I'm celebrated. I don't go where I'm tolerated. I mean, I deal with people that tolerate me all the time. That's the guy. Okay, whatever. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna do the best I can. I'm gonna keep my heart right. But you, some of you just let people abuse you. I don't let anybody abuse me. You can't get up in my face and start screaming curses at me. That ain't going to happen. We won't be doing that long. We'll be having some distance. I got boundaries. Amen. You need to have boundaries. So Paul's like, okay, it's over. If you look at Luke 9, you see that Jesus sends out the disciples. The 12. Later on in Luke 10, he sends out the 72 or 70. He sends out the 12 and he tells them to go before him. I'm going to read this to you. Watch this. Sends the 12 out with power and authority. What did he send them out with? Power. Yeah, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, cure diseases. He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave the town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Pay close attention, verse 6. So they set out from village to village proclaiming the good news among them. Literally, he says in another verse of scripture that it'll be worse for that town than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. So understand what's happening here. Understand that we're not just a cute little building on the hill. We're actually bringing the kingdom of God, I'm declaring the kingdom of God to you right now. I'm declaring to you Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, power of the Holy Spirit. You can be free. You can be healed. You can reject it if you want to, or you can accept it. In the hand of every person that is a witness holds blessing and releases even cursing for those who will not receive the gospel. And that is gospel truth. So literally, homes that don't receive the gospel, pastor, are you telling me it's bad for them? Yeah, it is. Things might get worse maybe before they wake up. And we don't wish that on anybody. Come on, somebody say amen. You were like, you don't know my ex-husband. No, okay, well, you need to get your heart right. Extraordinary miracles he does. You'll see that he takes disciples with him. So he does this for 90 days. He wins some disciples. They're rejecting him. He's like, that's it. Let's go to the lecture hall of Tyrannus, which, by the way, is still there. At least the edifice of it. You can go look. Type in Google, lecture hall of Tyrannus. It's there. I love Christianity. Real Christianity. There's no golden glasses that they can't find, you know. There's real locations, real artifacts, because there were no golden glasses for the prevert. There is a lecture hall of Tyrannus. And if you didn't catch what I just said, don't worry, we're moving on. He takes disciples with him and they had discussions daily. It's a beautiful thing to share God's word, to dialogue back and forth. I was dialoguing about the word with my wife. We do it all the time. He said, well, my son asked me, you know, he prepared to preach. He's preaching right now. So we're going back and forth about, you know, what's the Lord saying to you? What can you teach me about this text? My son asked me regularly, what do you think about this? I said, well, let's look at it. I'm teaching him. You know, some of you could have a much more powerful walk in the Lord if you just get in the Word and learn the Word. All right. So he disciples them. God is pouring out his spirit just like he did here in Ephesus. There's an emphasis of the Holy Spirit. You came in here sick and broken tonight. You're not going home that way. Amen. I'm teaching you a little bit. We're going to flow in the Holy Ghost in just a little bit. There's this emphasis of the Holy Spirit. I've seen some crazy miracles. I started thinking about some of the crazy miracles I've seen. I've seen signs and wonders too, and a sign and wonder is a sign that makes you go, man, what? Makes you wonder. One of the greatest ones I ever saw was the same time that Rodney Howard Brown saw it. It's the greatest sign and wonder he ever saw too. At least that's what he told me last I saw him. But, you know, they keep piling up. We go from glory to glory. So as of maybe 10 years ago, we were in Maui, and the outpouring of the Spirit of God took place. So there's a set of stairs that go up maybe 8 steps. The platform is much higher than this. There's maybe 8 steps to go up. Power God hit the place, and I saw somebody rolling like a window shade up the stairs and down. Okay, maybe you do a lot of sit-ups and have incredible core strength, unlike some of us. And then you could do that. Maybe once. But still, he was like a board, so it's not like he was trying to. I mean, he was straight. And he rolled, and he rolled up, and he rolled down. So that would be awesome. But he did it for 45 minutes. Or longer. I don't know. I mean, so, like, that's happening. And some lady on the other side, actually, stretched down in front of him on the right, she's directing a choir. She's a heavenly choir or something. And a totally dignified lady, you know what I'm talking about? There's no way that she would ever be on the floor making herself look stupid. But she's so overwhelmed by the power of God, and she goes into an encounter with God, and she's literally directing a choir from the floor for an hour. And I should tell you about some of the stuff that happened to me. I don't usually talk about that, but power God hit me. I was in a gymnasium. They opened up our gym and they lined everybody up. Rodney Howard Brown came and laid hands on me one particular time, and I don't know what happened. So I can't tell you what really happened, except for the fact that I began to spin. And I spun and I spun and I spun and I kept spinning. And I kept spinning for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. You'd be throwing up in the natural. How many of you glad I didn't puke all over everybody? Like, okay. Spinning around the gym. And people tried to stop me. They'd fall out. Ushers would fall out. That's what I'm told. Now, my experience after that, I just remember him laying hands on me. And all my experience was this. And then wham, light. And then I don't remember. No, that's just your emotions. Yeah, you could maybe say that, except for the fact I've been serving God with my hair on fire, so I don't have any, for 20 plus years, winning souls, getting people getting healed, people getting delivered. The fruit of an encounter with God is there. When somebody says, oh, I saw an angel, but their life is jacked up and there's nothing right about their life, you got to go, was that Satan that you saw? Another great miracle, Earl Schombach came and preached. Why are you saying this? Because when you feed on the things that God does of the past, it releases faith for him to do it again. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That literally, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for Auntie, he can do it for you. And there's nothing that God is not a respecter of persons. He can touch you. He can heal you. He can set you free. He can deliver you. He can save your stiff-necked uncle, auntie, brother, sister. There's nothing that God can't do for you. There's no pit that you might have fallen in that God is not deeper still. He's a deliverer. He's a strong tower. He's a miracle worker. He can take out the heart of stone. He can put in the heart of flesh. He can bring you to your right mind. That pornography addiction ain't nothing before God. He can do it. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say hallelujah. Earl Schombach. How many of you know who that is? Some of those old days of Earl Schombach, they wouldn't even go get olive oil. It's too expensive. They just got motor oil. God's honest truth. I don't know what weight it was, but literally, those meetings in Virginia, those meetings in Kentucky, they would go and get motor oil, Crispin, motor oil, and they would dump it in a big vat. And he would dip his hands in the motor oil, and he would lay hands on everybody, and the power got going. It's got to be first press, cold press. First cold press, first fruits out of Jerusalem. No, it doesn't. It's just a picture of faith. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. I prefer first cold press out of Jerusalem. I will say that. And we don't use motor oil here anymore. Amen. Motor oil's cheaper than olive oil, and I just wanted to save money and be a good steward. And you know, when it's clean, it looks like olive oil, but it does not smell like olive oil. We dump a little frankincense, a little essential oil in there, you call it a day, I guess. I don't know. Earl Schombach praying for no motor oil in Eagle River, okay. Praying for people. And I was an auxiliary usher guy. You know what that means? That means I wasn't always an usher, but when it got crazy, I was trained to get up in there. And some of my ushers, you all know what I'm talking about, give me an amen. So when the bodies were falling and people were getting touched and there wasn't enough ushers, I was auxiliary, which was my favorite, because I didn't want to really be an usher when it was just regular church anyway. But when the fire's falling, baby, I'm in there. You know why? You want to know why? Because when you're standing by, all my ushers know, they know. You standing behind somebody who's getting touched by the fire, you're like, bang, you get the overflow every time. By the time I'm done in a revival service as an usher, I'm undone. I've been secondhand Holy Ghost smoke for an hour. I'm like, my God, usher's got the greatest job there is. If you're taking application, just see one of our anointed. We are taking application. Just see one of our ushers. They'll sign you up. And he's like, I don't want to usher all the time. I just want to be the auxiliary guy. That's fine. We need auxiliary. We got more revival. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. I just thought maybe, Lord, he's going to drop a glory bomb on him. Earl Schombach, I don't think he was using motor oil this time. He's laying hands on people. I'm auxiliary. And I saw this blessed Filipino man with the most twisted spine. I'm talking twisted. I'm not talking like, oh, I have scoliosis. I know you can't tell, but can you pray for me? And I'm not, you know, the scoliosis is horrible, and God can heal you tonight. God can heal you now. But we're talking twisted, right? And you can tell by the shoes, the wear on the shoes. You can tell the way he's standing, the cane, the people that were with him. This is no joke. This is somebody who's very deformed. And he came up to Earl Schombach. He's standing in the line. I'm standing behind the guy, so I saw it. It's not something I read in the book. I saw it, okay? And he says to Earl Schombach, who's like 6'11". I don't know, he's a tall man. And Earl Schombach standing there in like this bright yellow jacket. I never forget that. That guy had some suits on. And he looks at him and he says, "Wrap your arms around the man of God." And so the Filipino guy just wraps his arm. The Filipino guy was like 5 foot. Earl Schombach's what, 6'4"? Was. He's in heaven. And I'm standing behind him. The Filipino man wraps his arms around. It's not to say anything about Filipinos. He was just Filipino, that's all. They make the greatest food in the world. It's an incredible culture. Good boxers. And so wraps. Wrap your arms around the man of God. That's what he said. And so the man wraps his arms around him. Earl Schombach shoots his hands up and begins to pray the most authoritative, powerful prayer. I'm the usher. He says, "Oh God, release your power." And the power of God was like lightning struck. And I watched this guy fly out, hit me. I went down. He's on the ground. I'm on the ground. Bad usher. But you know, when you go down, I mean, it's just the power of God. It hit me. I couldn't stand. I was like, whoop, wasn't ready for that. I stand up. He's moved on to pray for the next person. I'm staring, looking at the man. And I, as God is my witness, I watched his back just go straighten out right in front of me. I thought, I'm like, I just want to go, "Brother Earl." Now he's gone. He's got miracles 4 down the line by now. And here's this guy that got straightened out. And he is saying something in Tagalog or Ilocano. I have no idea what he was saying. And the people that are with him are totally freaked out. He stands up. He's a foot taller. And I'm looking at him. He's like, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" I'm like, I mean, I just ran off and got like, I ran off and got touched by God myself. Miracles! Miracles, 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 miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of healing. You say, "Well, I don't see them too often." Maybe you're missing the strongly persuaded and boldness. Maybe you're missing that. Maybe you're not convinced that miracles are for today. Maybe you're not convinced that God wants to use you, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And you don't have to have a microphone in your hand. You don't have to have a pulpit you stand behind. Come on, what's his name? The guy that wrote Macbeth and Shakespeare. I got it. Shakespeare said this. "All the world's my stage." Well, the Lord would say to you, all the world's the pulpit. All the world is your church. Just go and we owe people an encounter with God. And I've seen the flaky, weird. I hate flaky, weird. I'm allergic to flaky intercession. I'm allergic to flaky, weird manifestations without character. Lord. I know many of those are real, God. I didn't mean anything by that. Okay, I got to be careful. You got to be careful. Yeah, I'm just being careful. Sometimes things happen. You don't understand. You'd be like, "But I don't think that's God." Careful. That, you remember that story I've told you a number of times? Pastor brings his church to Brownsville. They go to Brownsville. All the board of the church goes. They bring a church van. They go to the Brownsville Revival in Florida and Pensacola years ago, 1996, something like that. They all go in. people were getting absolutely transformed, people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered. I heard testimonies of how if you really needed your miracle, what people would do is that they would literally get on their hands and knees. It was so crowded, you couldn't even come close to getting to the altar because by the time you get up there, you're 20 deep. And literally so crowded all the way through, there's no way to get to the man of God for him to pray for you. And what they would do is they would get on their hands and knees and they would crawl, people would crawl through until they found the man of God's shoes. And when they saw the shoes, they would recognize the shoes from the stage. They would crawl through, find the shoes, pop up, pray for me. That's smart, if you ask me. I think that's highly intelligent. Don't try that here. But anyway. God touches all these folks and touching people. The board is impacted by what's seen, but nobody, you know, they're not really sure. They're kind of all looking at pastor, make sure pastor's okay, make sure pastor's, you know. So they leave and they get in the van and the board of directors and leaders that were with them, they're all in the van, they're about to drive away and they say to the pastor, now this is a God's honest testimony that I heard from the actual guy that it happened to. Or secondhand, I guess it was one of the guest speakers that was with him that told him the story. And they said, Pastor, what do you think about all that? He said, all that laughing? Yeah. Yeah, what do you think about that? All that shaking? Did you see that, guys? Did everybody see? Yeah, we all saw the shaking. That shaking, I can shake like that. I can shake that. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And then he went, oh. And falls out of the van on the concrete. He's on the concrete. Now he's shaking and he's pleading for forgiveness and he shook for a week. A week. Somebody had to drive that church bus back. Another testimony, the power of God and miracles and signs and wonders. Why are you saying this? Because we're seeing this and it's growing and our faith is in God's word. Our faith is in Jesus. We don't seek angels. We don't seek signs and wonders. We ask for the outpouring. We worship the Lord God Almighty. It's His blood. It's His word. But when you're going after God and when you're winning souls and when you're growing in the knowledge of God and you've got a lifestyle of prayer, you can expect to see miracles. Amen. And I feel like our expectation for some is a little bit low. You're like, well, God can do that for somebody else. I was talking to a brother here, the pig. They got this pig. Pigs looked like it was dying. You know, if you have a pigs are expensive, man. Plus all that bacon and everything. Hey. He said, like, well, it was not getting up and was sick. It was down for days. There was talk of capping the pig, harvesting it. They went and laid hands on the pig, and the pig got up. Okay, obviously none of you have ever had an animal that was sick. You know, and a big pig that's gonna produce a lot of meat for the winter for you. They laid hands on it and it got up. Miracles can happen to pigs. Miracles can even happen to cats. Miracles can happen to dogs. Miracles can happen to you, your babies, your finances. There's no limit to what God can do. There's only people that limit Him. Take the limit off. So God does extraordinary miracles to testify. The exit sign, you can't go through the exit sign. The exit points to the door, points to the way, points to the truth. You can leave the current place that you're in and go through the door, you can go through the truth. That points to it. Signs and wonders and miracles point to the fact that there's a risen Savior. Please don't confuse it. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. They witness. This is no joke, this Operation Andrew thing. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. I believe that we will grow by 500 people by the end of the year. Why would you even say that? Because I believe that we'll grow by 500 people by the end of the year. But how come you're saying? Because I believe that we'll grow by 500 people by the end of the year. How's that going to happen? You're going to invite everybody you know. You're going to pray. You're going to fast. That's why we're here. We're not here just to, you know, us four and no more. We're here to reach this community. Ephesus was turned upside down by Paul and his disciples. The whole region heard the word in 2 years. So I don't know how many disciples it is because it doesn't say, but I'm pretty sure with the amount of people that are in this room right now, if we all did our part and God by his grace came upon us and we did our part to boldly, persuasively speak day after day, reach to our coworkers, reach to our neighbors, reach to people, that within 2 years, it wouldn't be no problem to see all of the Anchorage Bowl area saved. I think that would be no problem. I got like one amen from our Portuguese brother on the front row. It's true. God took 120 people and turned the known world upside down. We're standing here having a meeting tonight because of 120. There's 250, 60 people in the sanctuary right now. I think we could do it. But so what's missing? The desire, or maybe we're not aware that God wants to use us like that? God wants to use us. And I'm not trying to put shame on you. I'm trying to inspire you. Oh, there's nothing like God using you to win the lost. There's nothing like leading somebody to Christ. There's nothing like laying hands on somebody and see the bondages broken and to see them come to repentance. There's nothing like seeing lives transformed. Miracle, demons are cast out. The seven sons of Sceva debacle is fascinating. There's almost an idolatry that's taking place in certain parts of our country about the casting out of devils. And the casting out of demons is just regular Christianity. It's not that big a deal, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal that people don't get free. We need to see people set free, and we are seeing people. Somebody said, do you have a deliverance ministry? Of course we do. We have a number of levels of it. And you can get devils cast out right here. If you're bound, if you're hearing voices, you don't have to tolerate that. You can be set free. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be free from every demonic oppression in the name of Jesus. I pray that power loosed off of you and your children, off of your family. So there very possibly deliverance that took place right then. But there's other times where they're so integrated through wounds, through generational sin, and through habits. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. And sometimes with deliverance ministry, you need to help people unlock the code, if I could say it that way, to unlock the puzzle and get everybody healed and free and get somebody set free. That sometimes is a process. We have that, yes. But I see a lot of hype about it. But this miracles of casting out of demons is normal. Everybody say it's normal. And I love how the text says there's incidences where the Lord's name is held in high honor. And that very final verse, look that with me. Can I have music, please? Verse 20. Very good. Verse 20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. In what way? Well, you go and list it. Go and list. Just Luke, who writes Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has just listed the ways. It's through the preaching of God's word daily for 90 days, through training and making disciples. It lists it. Through prayer, through miracles. Miracles took place. And even through people misusing the name of Jesus and using it like a lucky charm. The seven sons of Sceva, even in destruction, where they were naked and bleeding, we don't wish that on anybody. But if you're bound and you're addicted, I would highly advise that you like get freed up before you start trying to get other people free. It's in this way that the word of the Lord grew, witnessing. And this is fascinating, where they get convicted and they bring their magic scrolls. These are Christians. These are believers. They're like, oh boy, the fear of the Lord. They're like, wow, if the seven sons of Sceva, those guys, wow, they seemed anointed. Yeah. And they came and they burned their magic scrolls, and it gives a price, and you can go and figure out what the cost of all their magic scrolls is. All that idolatry is big business. And they come and they burn it. Some of you need to go home and burn some stuff. Let me say that again. Some of you need to go home and, you know, do it in a burn barrel and do it right. They publicly destroy their idols. It's just bold witnessing. A bold witnessing coming from being grounded in the Word. You know, we have life groups that are opening here shortly. And we'll open, by the grace of God, 100 life groups. We're close. We got to just about figure. We're close. Isn't that right? We're close. That's amazing. Get in one. I got one amen. Get in one. Why would I do that? I'm busy. Okay, but the life group that I attended at first and then later became a life group, became an assistant, then I became a life group leader. And I will tell you something, church was always amazing, but there was nothing like our life group, man. Our life group was fire. Church was fire too. Couldn't wait to church, couldn't wait to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. But the life group was, we saw so many miracles. We had people healed of cancer. I've told that one story. Ian, his name was Ian. He's from Scotland, separated from his boy during World War. I think he had it couldn't have been World War II. It was after that. He had a child, and the child was over in Europe as a boy, and he got separated from him. He had no contact, and then he remarried, had another family, and they had no idea where they were. He says, I want to be reunited with my son. We prayed, as God is my witness, Karen was there. She would tell you the same. We prayed that Thursday. That next week, I got a phone call, maybe 5 days later. You would never believe what happened. I wasn't a pastor, but it was just Daniel. You never believe what happened, Daniel. I said, what? I was contacted by my boy from Germany. He's 30-something years old, and he's coming. He's flying. He's on a plane. He's going to be in the life group on Thursday. So that next Thursday, can I tell you how excited we were? One week answer to prayer. That next Thursday, he brings that his son is there, his wife, the son's wife, and I think they had two grandchildren. They come, and he was an engineer for a small company called Porsche. And he took a vacation, and there was no internet back then, or at least we didn't have use of it. And his son hired an investigator to find his father, and he found him on the island of Maui. Contacted him, got on a plane, flew his whole family. That Thursday, all we did was weep. All we did is weep as the father, Ian, is weeping, and these German people that don't speak any English at all, and we didn't have Google Translate either. We're all weeping. Everybody's weeping. And through a series of communications, we're able to basically lead him to Christ, and he got born again. He got born again, his wife got born again, and his kids gave their hearts to Jesus too. The following week, they're in Wednesday night service. So that's they show up Thursday. The following week, it's either Sunday or Wednesday, the family got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak in tongues. That's a life group. Oh, I don't want to open my home. It's because you don't know what'll happen. When the ark came to Obed-Edom's house, it wasn't like Abinadab's house. When the ark came to Obed-Edom's house, he had sunshine on a cloudy day. When the ark came to Obed-Edom's house, he prospered. It was only there for 3 months. When you open your home, now you say, well, I want to do it. Well, we got protocol. Well, there's a right way, but go ahead, line up and get involved. We need more hosts. All right, I'm going to say this. If you're a formal member and you desire to open your home, come and see me or Pastor Tammy. All right? I'll make some exceptions because I need more homes. And we're going to hit 100 in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we have so many people that need to be reunited with their children, so many people that need freedom, so many people that need miracles, so many people that need to be set free. The Word of God needs to be taught more than just like now. It needs to be in homes and in your hearts, and your community, your neighborhood needs to be reached. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? You say, but it's uncomfortable. I'll have to clean my house. You're darn right, but you know you need to clean your house anyway. Come on. You open your house. You believe God. He said, I can't. I just can't do this. Okay. But well, then you pray. Pray maybe next season you can. You're like, I don't want to do it, but I think I want to get involved in like assisting or something. Awesome. Just come and talk to Pastor Tammy. We have Discover Track and different things we'll put you through. We'll train you. We won't just like kick you off and hope it works out. That's not what Paul did. He trained them and they discussed the word and they learned and they grew. All right. Why wasn't there a revival before that? And why didn't people confess their evil deeds before that? Well, the same reason that maybe some of you here tonight, as I close, have evil in your life and you're tolerating it. Because you do not have a fear of God. And you think that just because God has winked at you over the years and allowed you to have your pornography addiction, children's church is over there, kids, youth is over there. That's not here. You're struggling with your pornography addiction, your chronic issues that you have when your wife is sleeping, when your husband is sleeping. Saying it. Your secret cannabis addiction where you get high and nobody knows. Or maybe you're addicted to pills. And you just think it's all right. It's all right. Listen, you've come in that way and I'm so thankful. And we'll have a whole lot more people that come in. We'll have people that battling gender identity. We'll have people battling all kinds of stuff. And I hope they come. I want them to come. I pray they come. I pray they come. I hope they come so that they can hear the word of God, so they can hear truth, so they can be set free from the bondages of the enemy. There's a very real devil, and he wants to keep you dull. He wants to keep you in a place of half-heartedness, just being a little religious person. That is the most miserable Christian walk there is. You got to get that stuff out. You got to burn it. You got to get rid of it. Some of you looking at the astrology charts every day. And even now, it's like I can hear it. Is there something wrong with astrology? Yes. Duh. But how would you know that? Unless you were discipled. You wouldn't know that. So I'm not going to look down my nose at you, but yes. Except you've been in the church for 10 years. It's probably time to grow up. Is this too hard, Pastor Vince? Do we need some mercy from Pastor Vince? Here, pray for comfort and for everybody. Go ahead. Lift your hands to heaven. Pray.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, touch them, heal them, deliver them, set them free in Jesus' name. Woo!
All right. Stand up on your feet. If you need healing, right where you're at. You need healing. You need a miracle. Raise your hand. You come here, sweetheart. Right here. Come right here. Lift your hands. Three. Two. Lady in the green, Jennifer, you both need healing. Did you have your hands raised for healing? Well, Lord bless them. They're like, no, I was just worshiping God. All right. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, you're a leader. You can talk. Your husband knows that. You have a gift to be able to communicate. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you, and you're going to reach young women, because there is treasure on the inside of you that the Lord wants to unlock so that others would experience the love and the grace that you've experienced, and so that others would be even spared from some of the choices and things that happened to you, even when you were a little girl. The Lord is on you. He's touching you. He's healing you. Touch right now. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's it. Lord, thank you. If you need healing, quickly step out from where you are. Quick, 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 quick. Quickly come. Quickly come. Lift your hands right where you're at. 3, 2. Be healed. That's it. Go after God. He's the healer. Be made whole. Touch right now. Heal. Heal. I want you as one of my leaders. Do whatever you got to do. Get in there. But now, no buts. Goat's butt. Sheep say yes. Yes. Fire. Yes. Feel. Right now. Every bit of cancer go. Come on, pray for our sister right now. Pastor Gil, come and lay hands on her. Come on. Every bit of cancer, go. You've defied the doctor's report. Full 100% healing. Touch. Leader. You're a leader. You're a leader. I'm just telling you, you're a leader. Yeah, but Pastor, no, no. I know. I do this. This is what I do. I call out leaders. That's what you've been created for. No one dances like that that doesn't have fire to lead people. You've been called to lead people. Take 3 steps back. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hands all the way high. 5, 4, 3, 2. Fire! Lead, son. Lead. 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 I charge you to lead. Right now, pastors, go. Pray for all these folks. Release the power of God. Holy Spirit. You've been a part of other moves of God. God has sustained you. You have so many testimonies of the goodness of God. Over and over and over and over again. And the Lord is touching your joints right now. Touching your joints, your elbows, your hips, your knees, your shoulders. He's touching your back like hot oil being poured over your head. Right there. Now, more, more, more. Give her her heart's desire. That stubborn, stiff-necked grandchild that come to the knowledge of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Receive. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Here's what we're going to do. I need to be sensitive to try to sync up with the youth, and I want to pray for everybody else. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, do it now. Get right with God. Get right with God. You'll never regret it. Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make a real decision for Him. Then grow in the knowledge of God. It's not a lucky charm. It's not a, oh, you prayed the prayer and then it happens. No, it's repentance. It's asking God that you would be forgiven through a godly sorrow, realizing that it's your sin that crucified Christ. It's a real repentance. It's not magic. You prayed that prayer and then it happens. That's not what happens. It's real repentance that brings salvation and being born again. And then get in the Word. Get plugged in. Serve somewhere. Be a part of that Operation Andrew thing. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.